Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm host medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today I've got a very exciting guest. You know, there's times in your life where you meet people and there's just a kindredness that's there, and it's just a specialness. Well, that's the way I am with Dr. Darren Weissman. He is a Hay House author. He's the author of The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. Wonderful book. If you have not read it, I encourage you to do so. He's a magnificent weaver of both science and the kind of that esoteric approach to how we should be looking at our life and looking at healing. And the book is available on hayhouse.com or also on amazon.com. And so I'm going to be talking to him about the book, and then also he is the developer of a healing tool that is just phenomenal. I personally experienced it and found it was just such a non-threatening way for me to be able to release a lot of the emotional things that we just seem to gather throughout our lifetime that keeps us out of that state of balance or that state of sync. And oh yes, even the people that are supposed to be spiritual and know all this stuff still get to be through life. So this is, he's going to be talking about his lifeline technique and the classes that he teaches. He has a wonderful teaching ability to be able to share those skills with other people so they too can go and help people in the world of healing. So very, very excited. Before I actually asked Darren to come online, I wanted to tell you how we met. We were actually at an event in Toronto, Canada, and Louise Hay came up to me and she said, "Carol, you just absolutely have to meet this person." And it's like, okay, well, and Louise is always excited, but she was very excited. She says, "You have to meet this person." And so, and I was looking around the room, and when my eyes met Darren, it's like, oh my gosh, I could see such a compassionate, gifted healer. And it was just instant respect. It was just that kindredness. And so when I got to go up and actually talk to him, it was like we were just both mirroring each other, and I just felt very pleased to have met him. So he is my guest today, so I lovingly call him Dr. Darren. His name is Dr. Darren Weissman. So hi, Darren, how are you?
Hey, beautiful Carol. I love just going back to that moment in Toronto where time kind of stood still, and it was just remembering each other again. And this is just so great to be able to share both of our light together with all of the listeners today.
Well, absolutely, and thank you for joining me. It is, and it's going to be a very, very, very special show. I love your book. I love everything about it. I love the way that you weave this part of both a scientific perspective. You've got some wonderful people that you've shared information, Dr. Iyamoto. You've got Candace Pert. You've got a lot of people who are really based and grounded in reality about the health and healing, yet also are such esoteric walkers, and then the way that you look at the body. Can you give people a little bit of background on, you know, who you are? I know that you're a lot, but just kind of how you started this?
Yeah, you know, the ultimate essence of who I am and who we all are is pure love, and along my journey of discovering this truth of who I am, I was on my way to becoming a Western medical practitioner, and because that's what I knew. I was raised in a medical family, and my grandfather was a pharmacist, and what I knew is that if I had a symptom, that I would take a pill or we'd do a surgical route for that symptom or that disease or that stress. How my family, you know, that was their beliefs and understanding, and it became my upbringing. And as a result, my journey took me through really facing a lot of childhood symptoms and diseases in a real sickly kind of way. And I thought, you know, as a youngster, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great to be a doctor and be able to help other children or other people that have challenges like this? And I was studying pre-med courses, but in my heart feeling I didn't understand why, a lack of passion for it. And through synchrodestiny of an experience where my brother was in a terrible car accident, unfortunately he is fine, but as a result of being in the car accident, he went the Western medical route and took anti-inflammatories and muscle relaxers and painkillers, and it didn't work. Went to physical therapy, it didn't work. And then he threw just a shot in the dark, went to go see a chiropractor. And, you know, I had never heard of a chiropractor, and my brother Howie called me up, and he said, Darren, you've got to check out this profession. It's for you. And I checked out chiropractic. It was an instant match. And from there, was awakened through a Western medical doctor, a chiropractor, and an acupuncturist from China, the marriage between the qi and the innate intelligence of chiropractic in Chinese medicine. And that door opened up, and learned about acupuncture. And upon graduating, went over to Sri Lanka, and I studied in China. And, you know, it's almost like once that heart door was open and that passion was unleashed, I couldn't get enough. And so I started reading about aspects of neurolinguistic programming and psychoneuroimmunology and aspects of kinesiology and total body modification and Ayurvedic medicine and the chakras. And I just became a sponge. And one day, through a meeting point of what I call faith and fear, I had an awakening. And the awakening was what my friend Tom Bain called the big idea. And the big idea is there's got to be a way that all of these systems of ancient healing arts and modern-day ways of understanding the mind, body, and spirit fuse together in one unified system. And the awakening was I was downloaded through my crown chakra. I saw clearly in a vision everything that I'd ever studied with, everyone I'd ever studied with, and I wrote out this, what I now call the Lifeline Technique flowchart, in a matter of about half an hour when you see it. I look at it and I go, I really have a hard time even believing that it came through me, because I'm in awe of it every time I do a session. But what it is really, Carol, and for all the listeners, is it's a roadmap of the subconscious mind. It's a blueprint of the subconscious mind. And, you know, and the essence of the Lifeline Technique is what it does is it transforms symptoms and stress that people's body or life are speaking to them with into intentions that they set for themselves of infinite possibility. And the Lifeline Technique can guide anyone from feeling powerless into powerful, from feeling afraid into being courageous, from having allergies to feeling optimal health, to having immune challenges, to feeling, you know, just strong and confident. I've worked with over 80,000 people in my life using Lifeline Technique, and I have seen and witnessed things that have not yet been written about in textbooks. And it's really, I'm just grateful and honored and humbled to be able to share it and to teach people that they can actually learn how to do this amazing system on themselves and others as well.
You know, and I think the thing that you and I and those who do this integration work realize is that healing really is approaching all aspects of it. But in that process, in the healing process, what I mean is mentally, emotionally, energetically, and then also from the soul's perspective, the soul really shows us the whole picture. It shows us that, you know, what layers need to be worked on. But there's almost a psychological barrier even in knowing that that's possible, is it has to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And that it has to take a long time. And the reality of it is that it doesn't. And in healing, we can really start anywhere. And it's like touching a spider web. We can touch any part of the spider web, and any part that moves, the whole web changes. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I really love about the work that you do. So much of the time, you know, Western medicine, and I could certainly understand the lack of fit with you, and I know with myself, and I know that you're not anti-medicine, as I'm not either, but the thing is it's all about symptoms, and when we deal with symptoms, it's like we're just putting a Band-Aid on the boo-boo.
Yeah, it's really just realizing and appreciating just it's a new paradigm. And, you know, the paradigm that many people, if not most people, view symptoms and stress with is that symptoms and stress are a nuisance, or that there's some type of internal or external terrorist attack on your body that somehow we want to, you know, we need to get away from them, we need to fight them, we need to numb them, we need to distract ourselves from them. but ultimately they're a conversation, they're a dialogue, they're a very intimate and delicate process, just like the spider web, that is communicating from our soul the truth of our nature. And the truth of our nature, as I started about who I am and who we all are, is pure love. You know, pure love, and you know, love is an amazing essence, which ultimately is the bridge for everything and everyone. It's the healer for everything and everyone. When that energy of love flows through us, or we flow through life with love, we unify, we connect, and we can't help but heal. And the real journey is to discover what's the conversation, what's the dialogue.
There's where that body is so exquisite, isn't
yeah.
it? Because that body tells you where to start the conversation.
I find your work just to be so remarkable. Your intuitive factors, being the medical intuitive that you are, is so remarkable, where anyone can, you know, with their intention, have a connection with you and say, why is my body speaking to me with this thyroid challenge, or with cancer, or with Crohn's disease, or with, you know, whatever it might be, and you're able to see past the veil into the soul's expression. And what's neat, and what I, you know, why you and I are, you know, like peanut butter and jelly, is that, you know,
I love that.
You know, it's the beauty is that now it's like the once you're able to get into that subconscious goo of connection, what is perceived to be as goo, but it's really it's the subconscious has one sole purpose, and that sole purpose is to protect. And so when we're able to realize and really open our eyes to the true message from spirit, that a part of ourselves at one point in our life did not have tools, strategies, or support to think, feel, or act with love, that we didn't have teachers that could model how to love, that belief patterns were put in place. And those belief patterns that were put in place end up acting literally as these gaps of protection that, when they get activated, our body begins to speak with the symptom. That when you bridge that gap, your body can't help but heal. And what ends up happening is you can't help but view yourself and the world around you differently.
And exactly, and again, that's part of the healing model. And so many times, the way that we're conditioned is that healing is a destination. And what we know is that it's just it's a process. It's a journey of self-discovery. The metaphysicians of the ancient times believed that all illness was the result of a person not knowing themselves. And, you know, I've read this and I've questioned it in my personality from so many different angles, and it basically comes back to knowing yourself and how to love yourself. And when I was in the near-death transition, when I was kind of between both of those worlds, people will often ask me, what was it like? And I said, it's hard to put into words other than I can say love. And they say, well, what kind of love? And it's difficult to break it down into the components to where that conscious mind and that subconscious mind can deal with it. It is just love. It is just acceptance. I'm so glad you brought up about the subconscious mind, because in so much of what is happening now, kind of in the shifting of consciousness, we're being asked to go inside and really look at, you know, within ourselves, what is consciousness? What is subconscious? And there's been so much written that, you know, the subconscious is basically where we hold all of our, you know, little demons and those negative emotions and all those things. But like you said, it's protection.
Yeah.
It's designed for survival.
Yeah. And, you know, the demons aspect of it is, I guess it's a perspective.
Yeah.
And the truth of it is it's angelic in nature. And the truth of it is that the subconscious mind versus the conscious mind is the reactive mind. And so we can look at it on many different levels. The reactive mind might be something like, if something comes close to your eyes blink. You know, that is a protective mechanism. As you begin to go from sitting to standing to walking, your heart rate or your blood pressure increases. It means to adapt, it reacts. But that's a reaction on a physical level. There's a behavioral reaction where we react rigidly or obsessively or compulsively. Those behaviors ultimately are a protective mechanism for a part of ourselves that doesn't have conscious tools.
Exactly.
And so there's so so many different ways, but the ultimate protective mechanism has no attachment whatsoever to your physical body. The ultimate protection has no attachment to your gender, your race, your religion, your relationships. The ultimate protection is about once we incarnate into physical form, the subconscious mind is a part of our journey. Once we come from this formless place into formation where we become these physical beings that the energy slows down and becomes matter, we have a subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind ultimately is there to protect the spirit. In protecting the spirit, it's almost like, well, what does the spirit need to be protected from? Really nothing whatsoever. However, in the same light, when you talk about the definition of health, and health ultimately meaning wholeness, and wholeness ultimately meaning acceptance and forgiveness, compassion, gratitude, and love of yourself, regardless of circumstances, when we are unable to think, feel, or act in that way for ourselves, and our environment is unable to model that, then the subconscious mind will hold on to a vibrational experience and all of the sensory components of that experience and keep it in the downloaded short-term memory banks of our subconscious mind. And what happens, and it's so neat, Carol, is because our brain and our body are really not designed to recognize the difference between reality, imagination, or memory, when these subconscious emotional patterns, let's say of a little four-year-old boy or girl, get activated, that we're in an environment of anger, we didn't have the ability to choose love regardless of the anger, when that subconscious little boy or girl gets triggered, our heart begins to beat as if we were 4 years of age. Mm-hmm. Our lungs breathe in that way, our blood flows in that way, our digestion flows in that way, and then that's where our physical body begins to speak with particular symptoms, or our life begins to speak with stress. Not to victimize us, not to cause suffering, that's the language to say that at 4 years of age, you didn't have the tools to choose love or set intention like you're doing now. You didn't have the ability to, you know, to be in a space of unconditional compassion or love. And so the symptoms ultimately help you to learn. They're a learning process. After the protection's gone, we end up going into this learning phase of really discovering, as you said, of who we really are. And it's an amazing journey, even though easier said than done. When we're in pain, we're in pain. When we're afraid, we're afraid. And it's so beautiful when you begin to understand the truth of it.
Exactly. And, you know, when we come in and we come through the birth canal, we are literally just pure love. Mm-hmm. And everything about us, it's like that soul memory of what it would be in light and how the world is, you know, kind of from our perspective, a little bit how it should be is that we just expect it. And then what we do is as we mature all the way up into 3 and 4 years old, we start to shift our perception from ourselves to others and to be able to share love with others. So what we're talking about in that subconscious that happened at 4 years old, the memory that is there that may ultimately become the symptom in the body isn't because we did something wrong.
Right.
At the time it served us well, but now it's time for change. And that's what the subconscious does and how the soul uses the body is it says, this has come up again. What do you choose to do with it?
Yeah, and I love that you just said that because many people, you know, it's like, oh, my body's speaking to me with cancer, or I've got autoimmune disease, or, you know, I keep repeating these patterns in relationship where, you know, I'm feeling empty or, you know, lacking passion, and what's wrong with me?
And
here we are, and we have this understanding that there's this cause and effect, choice and consequence, law of attraction type of mechanism that exists. And so it's like, oh, gosh, I've attracted this into my life. The whole thing about it, here's the truth. When you have a symptom and you have a stress, when there is a disease present in your body or in your life, rather than there anything being wrong, there's everything right with you. And there's everything right for you to now, in the moment, passionately and compassionately, think towards yourself with love first. Feel towards yourself with love first. Act with love towards yourself first. You now have the ability, and that whole road and that whole journey, it wasn't just for the heck of it. Like, you just didn't get popped on planet Earth just for the heck of it, that there's real purpose and unique meaning to why you're here. And without the trials and tribulations of our particular journey, we would never know the contrast and the beauty that we possess in ourselves. I mean, everything's right with us when things are going wrong. And that's an easier said than done thing. It really is.
Well, it's easier said than done when we look at it through the eyes of the soul. But when we look at it through the eyes of our mind that is fixating on an illness or fixating on a symptom and not having the information it needs, our mind isn't punishing us. It's not betraying us. It's doing its job. And that job is to call attention to the fact that you could look at it. There's something physically in your body that needs attention. There may be something mentally or emotionally that needs attention, or maybe it's just the chi and the energetics. There's congestion. So when we go in, I know that when I first started kind of coming out as this medical intuitive, I did a program for Extra Magazine, and I should have had a clue when they called Carolyn Mace and Mona Lisa and everybody else refused. I don't know why I volunteered, but I did. But the bottom line of it was is that in this process of interview with me, and then they interviewed many others in the world of psychiatry or the doctors and so forth, the doctor said, Carol, you're basically teaching people to blame themselves. And I said, if you look at it through your conditioning, I can understand that. If you look at it through your soul, it's an experience. It's an opportunity.
Right.
When it comes forward, it's the opportunity to take that deep breath, to go to that pause, to touch your heart, and to look inward for the love instead of outward, isn't it?
Yeah, and let's look at what that conditioning means. Let's really look at what it means to look at through the lens of the mind, where people are then taking it personally as towards, or taking blame or shame, or assuming that they caused this. Let's look at the mind, because one of the things that's really amazing about the mind, I mean, that we can talk about the mind for a long time, but one of the key,
many shows, huh?
Right. One of the key aspects of the mind is our mind is where our beliefs are. You know, and so the mind being split up into different segments, almost like lenses. It's almost like a bifocal lens, one that allows you to see close and one that allows you to see far. And so, you know, within the conscious mind, you know, you've got all this perception, all these senses that allow you to view yourself and the world around you and smell and taste and touch and feel. And as a result of the conscious mind, you can choose. You can take action. You can be creative and logical. And that literally, at the most, represents 2 to 10% of your mind. Mm-hmm. But the other 90 to 98% of your mind is subconscious. And sub meaning that it's like a submarine. It's below the surface. And unless it comes up to the surface, you don't even know it's there. And so when it comes up to the surface, you know, then you can, then you react. And so one of the interesting things is, like, the question that I ask people is, so your body's speaking to you with cancer. I had a woman that I spoke to this morning whose body was speaking to her with cancer, and there's this whole drama that was going on with her, in her family, because her sister now was doing genetic testing and was potentially going to have a complete hysterectomy as a result of having no symptoms, but because her sister had. So she was so angry and so scared about it. And what was so, you know, just powerful about that is that this represents our belief patterns. It represents, you know, the way that we perceive, and the whole thing about it is our perception is never really of truth.
Exactly.
We only perceive what we believe, and where do beliefs come from? But we learn them. Every belief that an individual or the collective humanity has been learned. And so as a result of only being able to perceive what you believe, what ends up happening is this whole mechanism of the subconscious mind gets activated based upon these limiting beliefs. And what's interesting is limiting beliefs are held in the chakra, the
yes,
light body
are.
Of the chakras. Right. And so when that vibration has a particular environment that activates it, it creates this whole mechanism of neurological and hormonal and physical genetic response. It's called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis of fright, fight, or flight. And when that gets activated, we literally react as if we're, like when I was giving that example of that four-year young little boy or girl, we literally react based upon the vibration that's in our belief. And what's so cool with the Lifeline Technique, what I do is somebody comes in with any symptom, it doesn't matter what it is, because I don't treat people for symptoms, stress or disease.
Exactly.
That's not what the model's about. I'm about bridging the gap between the conscious and subconscious mind so we can step into the next vibration of humanity, which is super consciousness. That's the
exactly.
transition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, and the thing is with the beliefs is that at the time you form them, they serve you well because it's part of that survival mechanism.
Right.
It's part of fitting in and coping.
Right.
And what occurs is that over the course of our learning to be adaptable and what I call behaviorally compliant,
yes.
is that we add on that belief. And then I always say to people, if you drop the B-E and you drop the F, you have a lie. At some point
right.
in time, that belief is going to bubble to the surface, whether it's a symptom or it's an emotional reaction or it may be a trauma, whatever it is, it's going to bubble to the surface. And it isn't that you were in denial. It wasn't that you did anything wrong. It's just in your evolutionary growth, that part has come to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the soul says is, you're at a place in your own personal growth and your openness and your love towards yourself. Let's bring that one up. It's kind of like having a bacteria inside your body that your soul pushes to the surface that forms a rash or something that says, now's the time. What do you choose to do with it? And the soul doesn't even, or spirit doesn't even say, you must do this at this moment in time.
No.
You have free will, which is the most important part of the whole love dynamics and the whole model of love is that I think in many ways I find we get confused about even the word free will.
Yeah, and, you know, just to put love into action so that when people have a symptom, they can actually activate something that's very powerful to really put this into, you know, a functional way of living your life. Joe Dispenza has done some really great neurological research and doing what's called brain spec scans, and he evaluated people when their brains were on gratitude, and he evaluated people's brains when they were in other than gratitude, when they felt like they weren't enough or good enough. When a person's brain is in gratitude, when they are thinking, feeling, and acting with gratitude, all of the subconscious parts of the mind are activated and working harmonically and symphonically. They are all working and activated and on. When people are in other than gratitude, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, if only I were more, oh, why is this happening to me? I'm the victim. As soon as that goes on, the subconscious mind turns off, and we start to run the programs then. And that's then we're in a reactionary mode. And so, you know, just looking at that, because if you can tap into the 90 to 98% of your mind that controls every cell in your body, every one of the 50-plus trillion cells, you know, the place where every emotion, every memory, every belief is stored, what kind of profound impact might that have on a person's life, on their ability to heal, an ability to find passion and meaning and purpose? How might that impact their family, their community? How might that affect the world that we live in when people begin to tap into this wisdom rather than fight it, which is the paradigm that we're living in right now?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, and thank you for bringing that up, and we'll talk more when we come back in just a moment. But the truth of the matter is that we are literally walking, talking thought. And the emotional part of it, that subconscious part of us, is just telling us where we're investing our energy. When I look at cancer as a medical intuitive, I look at it as an insidious belief that has gone awry. It's controlling your life. And it isn't that you did something wrong or that you ate too much sugar or you did anything. It's just spirit's way of saying to you, find that belief. Go in and look at it. And the gift of where we are in this evolution of consciousness is that all it takes is for us to heal ourselves at any present moment, to feel the power and be empowered to do that. And it's like dropping a pebble in a pond, and that pebble, the rings increase and increase, and so much of the evolution of consciousness beyond our own humanness begins with just one different way of seeing ourselves and thinking of ourselves. Well, Dr. Darren, if you'll please hang on, I'm going to be right back. I'm going to take a short commercial break. You will want to come back. If you have time, dial your friends. You're going to want to have them listen to this show and then listen to it in the archive. So I'll be right back to talk to Dr. Darren Weissman, the author of The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. So we're going to do that again, The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. The book is available on hayhouse.com, amazon.com, and I'm sure that it's still in your local bookstore. So hang on for a moment. I'm going to be right back. Thanks for joining me.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Well, thank you for joining me today. If you are just joining me, I have a very special guest, Dr. Darren Weissman. He is the developer of the Lifeline Technique. He also has a marvelous book called The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. And so many times I've found that we talk about love and we talk about self-love and we talk about gratitude. And before it was kind of like it was lip service. But now with the shifting of consciousness and all of the things that we know deep within our being, we're beginning to really understand that it is all about love and that there is a part of us that can unconditionally love. If we don't place good or bad on our experiences and they are experiences, that's love. If we go in and we share things that are very, very, share thank yous for the things. I was thinking this morning as I was preparing for the show with Dr. Darren, I was thinking, how many times do we get up in the morning and those first 5 minutes and how we see things set our day and the way that we operate and the things we do and why we do all the coulda, shoulda, wouldas instead of all the things that are important. And if we could take in that first 5 minutes of the day and look around us and look at the things that we have gratitude toward, the beautiful flowers or that, you know, I have a very special puppy dog that I adore. And I mean, I don't care where I am. I don't care if I'm grumbling because I have to get up and go and feed her because she's bugging me or whatever it may be. Oh my gosh, she's so glad to see me. And that's the way life is all about. And that's what Dr. Darren's work is all about. It's about being able to tap into that part of us that is there, and it's so powerful and so strong. So thank you again. Hi, how are you?
I'm amazing. Infinite love and gratitude to you, Carol. Infinite love and gratitude.
Well, my pleasure, my pleasure. It's always, anytime I get a chance to talk to you or to share your work, I just absolutely love it. Can we take a very brief moment, and let's talk about, because in your book, you've got the passion of free will, and you know, I think that as we're growing into ourselves and we're growing into this whole shifting of consciousness, this free will is a very important component, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it stems from, you know, our earlier conversation of just kind of beginning to appreciate, you know, what it means to be conscious. You know, free will means that, you know, my will, which means my choice, you know, my power to take action, that I have the freedom to take action. And the challenge is we do not have the freedom to choose what happens to us. The only choice that we have is how we respond to what happens.
That's absolutely true, and very few people understand that.
And so in this world, when, because I love how you're speaking of, you know, if we would just choose love, and it doesn't mean that we have to like, it doesn't mean that we have to trust. It means that we have an ability to discern in our heart and therefore create healthy and appropriate boundaries. When we choose love, then, you know, it begins this process of transformation and change. But the one thing about love is infinite. It cannot be defined the same way by two people. It's an experience And so there's one love, and it's an infinite love. And when you connect to living in your life, with the world that we're, you know, where people have so much fear and pain and stress, is the world of duality. It's the world of boundaries. It's the world of edges. It's the world of right and wrong. And it's, you know, being aware that, you know, there is a flow to things. And I'll say not, then I'll say will. We're not looking to live in a world of anarchy, you know, while at the same time appreciating that there is a natural flow to things. And when your body is speaking to you with a particular symptom, when life is stressful, when, you know, you look at the economic deficit that, you know, has now grown to a place where, you know, unemployment and people are, you know, there's such a separation between haves and have-nots. You know, you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting the same thing you've always gotten. And so nature does not repeat things. There is a flow to nature, but, you know, one job that I might want to have one day is to be a weather person. No disrespect, but, you know, it changes and you don't have to be right about it. It just has this particular flow to it.
And, you know, everybody accepts it. I mean, they can say, well, you know, it kind of looks like it might rain, so let's see, 10%, and then it rains. It's like, oh, well, they said it was kind of, and I mean, oh my gosh, that is so true.
Yeah, he or she's a weather intuitive. It's amazing that they were able to predict that. But you know what? And, you know, it's like I was just at teaching at the Omega Institute, and it was just supposed to rain every day. And that was the forecast. And you know what? We brought sunshine, and we had a good 3 to 4 days of just solid sun. And it was, when we got there, it was just pouring. It was amazing. So, you know, it's, you know, in life is an evolutionary journey, and it's the evolutionary journey to really awaken and discover the truth of, as we've been saying, who we are, and that truth is oneness. And the more that I have personally gone into recognizing that what I see in others really exists in me, you know, and so forth and so on, I being in a place where you recognize, where I've recognized oneness, doesn't mean that things are always just happy-go-lucky. I have an experience of, as a child, having sexual abuse, of having addictions to alcohol and drugs, and this whole experience of numbing myself and distracting myself. And it is through just really the ultimate really choice of faith or fear, and just being courageous, just to, you know, or maybe it was just that I didn't know what else to do at the point. But, you know, at one point we do have free will. And that free will ultimately represents a passion in a person's heart to know that there's got to be something beyond this. It can't be about this.
Exactly.
You know, and that becomes an inspiration rather than a breaking point. You know, and you want to ask yourself, if you're listening right now, are you at a breaking point or are you at an inspiration point? Is this going to break your will, or is this going to free your will to inspire you to be so much more? Because you are so much more, and you do have the ability. And, you know, right now there are so many people that have, you know, experiences, whether it be somebody's lost child or, you know, feeling like helpless as far as, you know, what am I going to do with this diagnosis, and, you know, nobody's able to give me answers. There's an answer that exists in each and every one of us. And I'm not being foofy in any way, that there's a truthful answer. And sometimes it's difficult to find on your own. However, you know, I feel blessed to know you, Carol, because you're a great medium and channel and guide to help point a person in the right direction. The Lifeline technique is an outrageous system for helping people to transform their experiences, not only in viewing them, but giving them everything that is necessary to begin the journey back to wholeness. And that's actually, we were never not whole. It's just a misperception that at one point we were.
Well, exactly. And, you know, all the experiences, is all they are is contrast. And in our humanness, there, because of our neurology and our brain and the way that we're anatomically and physiologically designed, if there isn't contrast, there's no growth. So
yeah.
We have to be able to, well, in really in life, there's always growth. But from the human perspective, we're never growing. We're stuck. I hear this all the time. And I'll say to them, you're not stuck. You're just maybe stuck in your beliefs. And what free will does is it says, so here you are at this moment, because you and I both know you can only heal in the present moment, because that's only where you, only time that your body, mind, your chi, your soul, every part of you is in that moment. And when you come in and you have that contrast, and all of us have our history, you know, I saw a quote one time, and it says, anytime you're in a relationship with anyone other than yourself, there's bound to be dysfunction. And then in my personality, because that's so much of the work I do, I'm thinking as a yellow, I don't even need anybody else. Just put me in a room by myself with my mind, and I'm going to find it. But the gift of free will is at that moment in time where you ask the listeners, you know, where are you? At that moment in time, you have choice. And the choice that you make is going to determine the next step of your reality, whether it's a second later or a year later or 10 years later. And the power of understanding that you have the power to be able to think differently and change differently. And I know in the world that we work with, and especially, you know, being the kind of in this personal health realm, so many people of the practical thinking, and I listened to you when you talked about love, and in my work of personality, when I wrote my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, Darren, it would be like we weren't even talking the same language, but we were using the same word.
Right.
And then when you go in and you have the people whose neurology is so grounded that if you can't see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, smell it, they don't know what to do. There's your lifeline technique. It says, this is tangible. This is what you can do. This is, if you do this and this and this and this, you will reach this place. Then for those who say, okay, then there's more to it, then they'll approach it different. But free will is the power of who we are. I say to people all the time, if you could see yourself, since I can see the aura part of them, the dysfunction in the body or the compromise, whatever word I want, or the symptoms or the healing that's occurring, and then you touch that spirit of a person, I'll say to people all the time, if you could see yourself like I saw you, you would never question your magnificence, you would never not love yourself, and you would always work from your greatness. Now, that may sound like, oh gosh, Carol, here you are, this kind of self-development and inspiration person like we so many times get accused of, but you know what? It's real.
It's true.
The gift of chaos, isn't it, Darren, is that chaos brings you to that place of truth.
Yeah, and that's the contrast between the chaos and the harmony and the subtle to extreme levels of that. And, you know, one of the things is that, you know, in the trainings that I do with the Lifeline Technique, you know, I recently said, you know, out of all of the challenges that you've ever faced, whatever you're facing right now doesn't even come close to compare with winning the greatest race of all time. And that greatest race that you won already is the great sperm race. The fact that you are living in human form right now means that out of anything that you'll ever face, you will never have that tough of odds to win. You know, it's just like you should go play the lottery right now. You know, so the essence is that as a result of this duality, yin-yang, opposing forces world of a sperm and an egg coming together to create this, you know, and defy this, the mathematics. So 1 + 1 is supposed to equal 2, but in the truth of the spirituality of all, 1 sperm + 1 egg creates 1 cell. And that 1 cell, that ovum, that 1 cell is the truth of who we are. And then from there on out, we begin this journey of changing and transforming. And I like what you said. You said, you know, what you're thinking turns into reality. It's like what you think matters, but what you think turns into the matter that manifests into your physical body, creates your liver, you know, creates your intestines, creates your relationships. But the challenge is that 90 to 98% of what you're thinking is not conscious, it's subconscious. It's a reaction-based, downloaded belief pattern program that has been going on for generations. Ancestors have been carrying that baton of this relay race, and we as humanity are at this really cool crescendo point where the global community is experiencing it in a crescendo of time and space where we have an opportunity to free will, choose together to make a difference, choose together to make an oath to be our best, that our moral obligation is to be our best. As Marianne Williamson said, our greatest fear is not that we're inadequate, it's that we're powerful beyond measure. Our moral obligation to being here is to be our best. And so many people, when it comes down to it, the end product of it all is just a lot of people are afraid to be powerful. And so they keep themselves in the states of denial and disconnection and numbness and loss as a means to protect themselves on a certain level. And the symptoms really let you know that you now have the ability to shine, baby. You now have the ability to be your most powerful self, if you so choose. If you so choose.
And, you know, and the gift of life and the gift of the journey is that we really do have free will at any point in time that any of these, you know, symptoms or any of these events happen in our life that, you know, we instantaneously on some level go, been there, done that. The journey is that we at any point in time can choose to change it. If we don't, the journey of life is, don't worry about it. It's going to come up again.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes up again, it isn't that you didn't do it right or you failed or that you just avoided it. It's just time for it to come up again.
And why does it come up again? But if that's the nature of the subconscious. The subconscious,
exactly.
It reacts. It does the same act again and again and again. It repeats, it replicates, it reproduces the same thing, not as a means to victimize, but, you know, it's almost like when you're learning something in school, you repeat it again and again. We're here on Earth School, and the subconscious mind, you know, gives us an opportunity to learn consciously to choose, to think, to feel, and to act, you know, with this space and place of acceptance and love.
Absolutely, and, you know, it just keeps on going. People will say to me, but Carol, it's so hard. It hurts so much. It's so bad. It's so, you know, I don't want to be here. And I'll say to them, this is the reward. You earned being here.
Yeah.
You know, this is the reward, is to, that you have the courage to walk this journey, and that, you know, it can look like it's hard. And I'll say to them, we are so powerful. The truth is, if you don't want to be here and it really is so much, then so be it. You won't be here.
Right.
But I always say to him, one of the things I learned when I was in light, that yes, there is love. And again, the way that we can kind of picture it now, but the truth of the matter is, when we're in light, there isn't emotions. We're observers.
Right.
And we're keen observers. We're wonderful observers. But the bottom line of it is, when you drop into this body and you drop into that subconscious and you drop into those emotions, they let you know the journey. They let you know. And that's the reward. It's the emotion. So when our bodies talk to us in illness, it's not coming in and saying, bad person.
Right.
It's just saying to you in the subconscious, been there, done that. Do you want to do it again?
Yeah. The fun part about it is actually the contrast.
It's
an ability for me to touch and feel different textures or taste different, you know, flavors, or to see different colors or smell different aromas, to have these different emotional experiences, that makes the whole journey worthwhile. If it was just all the same, if it would just go away, if I could just get away from that, if he would just stop being such a pain in the neck and that didn't bother me anymore, then everything would be better. But that's not how it works. It's about where you're going, as if you're already there, because you are already there. And when you activate the subconscious mind with intention of being in the truth of your power, that your body begins to flow in that way, and then the struggle is no longer there. And then there's just a richer experience of the sensory moment.
Exactly. I can remember when I was in that transition time, and, you know, the best way I can say it is the brain is still active, and that mind is doing everything in its power to pull you back from the sequence of, you know, crossing over permanently. And when I was in that process and my brain was trying to pull me back, one of the first things that I remember is, I remember when I was in that place in between, oh my gosh, I'm not going to smell my daughter when I tucked her in bed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, what a loss. And that was the first time in my humanness that I really appreciated not the five physical senses, but the love those senses bring in. And so it really is, you know, this is a reward. We earn it. The gift of the reward, the gift that I say that the soul gives us is, it gives us free will. How do we want to react at that moment in time? Do we react the way we always have, or do we react toward healing? We will always, always, always heal. Everything that we do in this lifetime serves a purpose. When we're ready to go to light, you're done. And when you're done, you go back to light, and there isn't an emotion of envy or anything else, but you're there, and you just savor the beauty of where we are. Well, I want to, before we have to get off the air, oh my gosh, you and I could go for hours and hours.
Don't tell me that we've already had an hour.
I am going to have you back, but there's some real important things I want to do, and I would like you to share. I know that you have your Lifeline technique. Please, if you've got any classes coming up, if you've got any events, because I know you have a class on conscious mind and conscious living, and then also, how can they go? What's your website? Let's start there.
Yeah, the website is infiniteloveandgratitude.com, infiniteloveandgratitude.com. And I have a whole training program where I do three-day trainings and then a certification exam for people to learn how to do the Lifeline technique, and anyone can learn it, and I've trained all kinds of people throughout the world. My next one will be in August at the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, and that's in Massachusetts. That's going to be a 5-day training, so it'll be very unique because usually it's a 3-day training. So we're doing it Kripalu style so that people can enjoy the beautiful grounds there and the experience that Kripalu offers. And then in September, we'll be doing a conscious body, conscious mind training in Chicago. Ultimately, what this does is through this kinesiologically muscle testing system, we get to the root subconscious emotions that cause physical symptoms or inhibit a body from healing from them, as well as we get to the root of the emotional patterns in the subconscious mind that create stress, addiction, limiting beliefs, phobias, and different things like that. And so, that's the first of the 3 different trainings, and they're really, not only are they a blast and fun and, you know, in a community of people that are really on the same path, which is just a whole other level of beauty, but you can't help. You literally are unable to help yourself from healing and transforming by learning the Lifeline technique as well.
And the wonderful thing is while you may be going there to be able to be of service to others using Dr. Darren's technique, the real part of it is you heal in the process.
Right.
Dr. Darren Weissman is the author of The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. He is a Hay House author. Again, hayhouse.com or amazon.com. Before we started the show, I asked him, do you have another book? And he said, he's got one coming out, so you're going to want to go to his website and find out more about for the training for his beautiful stuff. And if you're interested in learning about thyroid issues, I hope that you'll join me the end of July. You can go to my website at www.ritberger.com, pronounced Reitberger. I've got a class coming up on thyroid, and we look at it from all the different perspectives. We look at it clinically, we look at it psychologically, we look at it energetically through the aura, we look at chakras and personality, and then also things you can do. Please do go and buy Dr. Darren's book. Darren, my love, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, I love it, and I love you, and thank you for shining your light so bright.
Well, thank you very much, and all of you, thanks for shining your light so bright. It's been absolutely wonderful. If for any reason you want to share this show with anyone else, please go to Contact Talk Radio, go to my host page, and you'll see the archive. This is one show you will want to download in your iPod. Thank you so much. I will be with you Wednesday at 10 a.m., and I'll see you on the radio. Light and love to all of you. So be it.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.